hope everyone's Bible is already open to Luke 10. And we are continuing our process of studying the profile of a disciple and what it looks like to be a student, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm real excited because tonight and the next 2 weeks, we are going to look at the posture of a disciple, and we're going to look at that posture through a woman. And oftentimes, whenever we think of disciples in the Bible, we always think of men. And women were disciples in Jesus' time, and women were followers just as the men were. And so we're going to be looking at Mary of Bethany for the next 3 weeks, and that's why we jumped over to Luke. We will move back into John the next 2 weeks. There's three episodes of Mary with Jesus. And I think that it's going to really make us question her posture. Each time she is with Jesus, she's at his feet. Every time. The first time that we're going to be looking at tonight, she's sitting at his feet in just this great anticipation of his word, of him just speaking the word. And then we're going to look another time, and she falls at his feet in desperation. She's grieving over the loss of a loved one. And then the last time that we see her, she's once again at Jesus' feet, and she's kneeling in adoration. It's right before he goes through his death and resurrection. And as I have studied this over the last year of just that posture of a disciple and looking at Mary and really coming to realize that as women, we are theologians, we are disciples, we are followers, we are students. But I see that it is a cyclical posture in life. We will go through each one of those positions in seasons in our life. But I don't think we will ever get to the posture of adoration until we have known him sitting at his feet and hearing him speak the word to us, until we have known him in our vulnerability of falling at his feet in despair and grief and questioning life. We have to go through those things with God before we ever come to that place of adoration. Amen. We have to know him, and he has to know us, and we have to have that personal relationship of that wrestling and dancing through life with our Lord until we come to that place of kneeling in adoration. And I've really come to a place where I just pray that God, I will have that heart and that love and that compassion for my Savior, that I adore him, and that I come to a place of adoration that I will do anything for him. And so we're going to look at that together, and we're going to question that in ourselves, and we're going to challenge ourselves with that in these next couple of weeks, and seeing what it is that God wants us to learn. As we start tonight, and we see, we've already spoken of how we see Mary kneeling and sitting at Jesus' feet, it really made me question myself. And that word of sitting at his feet, if you look through Scripture, you see that that is the posture of a disciple. They sit at their teacher's feet. They sat at the rabbi's feet. They took in what it is that they said. They learned the disciplines of that teacher, and they followed those disciplines. It was also always the posture of sitting and looking up at their teacher. And it made me go back and look at myself of just growing up as a student. And whenever I was younger, I have a slight learning disability, and I will always learn at a slower pace than anyone else. What takes you an hour takes me 4 hours of reading, of figuring out. My mind gets confused very easily. I get very distracted. And so as I was younger and in college, I always sat at the back of the room. I never wanted to be noticed. I had an incredible fear of being asked a question, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to answer it, and I would immediately be labeled as stupid. And so I always stayed away so that no one would notice me. And I'll never forget in my 20s whenever I gave my life to the Lord and I surrendered fully to Him. And I asked Him to teach me the Word because I knew that that was the only way I would survive in the life that I had been living and in the life that I desired to become, this living and this abundant living that I had heard about. I knew that God would have to teach me. And so I literally prayed for the Holy Spirit to come along and that God would bring people around me that would walk me into learning what it meant to be a Christian and to be a disciple. And I'll never forget because I finally felt like that I could be a student. I finally felt like that my teacher, my rabbi, my savior would accept me exactly as I am and that he would teach me gently and that I could ask questions and he wouldn't call me stupid and he would show me how to apply in ways that I could understand. And I became a student of the Word of God and I finally had something that was mine. And then God called me to seminary, 4 years of praying to go to seminary because the little student child came back out of that fear of learning. And I went back to seminary, and I realized whenever I went into the classroom that I became the old Melissa. I became the old student. Once again, I felt inferior to everyone else. I felt like everyone was way smarter than me. I sat at the back of the room. I never wanted to be noticed. I was paranoid that a professor was going to ask me a question, and he'd realize that I didn't know the Bible. And God just said, Melissa, I have made you a confident woman. I have made you a woman that desires to be a student of the Word of God. And he showed me the behavior and the patterns of my old self. And I began to sit at the front of the room. And you know what happened whenever I sat at the feet of my professors and I sat right there in front of them? They began to know my name and they began to personally pour into me. And they had a desire for me to achieve and to succeed and to know Jesus Christ deeply. And all the distractions went away. I don't know if you've ever done that. If you sit at the feet of your teacher, you can't see anything else behind you. You're not distracted by the things and the noise that is going on. And all of a sudden, the teacher knows you by name. And they begin to pour into your life. And they begin to say, you have been called by God to do magnificent things. And I believe that that is how it is whenever we take the posture of a disciple. Whenever we come to that place that we sit at Jesus' feet, we begin to know him personally. And he allows us to know that he's known us by name before we were ever born. And we begin to have this passion to know him more. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. We desire to choose the posture of a disciple. We desire to choose to sit at his feet. It's a choice that you and I make every day. And I thought so much about that in this scripture that we're going to be getting to whenever he says, Mary has chosen. You know, in a world that we think that we have full control, and we think that we have control of our schedules and we have control of our conversations and we're always going to be. This is a choice that is a choice that we can make that we do have full control over. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight. So if you'll look at verse 38 with me, it says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. It says that she sat at his feet. The NET Bible says that she took initiative. She made a decision to go forth and sit there. And I love this because in this culture, Jewish rabbis did not allow women to come and sit at their feet. Most times when there was teaching in the synagogues, the men went into the room. The women were on the outside on the perimeters. And then their husbands would come home or their fathers would come home and they would teach them the scripture. They couldn't sit at Jesus' feet. They were not accepted as a student. But Jesus delighted in Mary sitting at his feet. And he welcomed her to that place. And she knew that ahead of time. She knew that before he got there that he would accept her and that he loved her in that way and that he desired for her to know truth. And I love that, that Jesus had such the compassion and such, he was so good at building relationship that she knew her place already. And she was confident in sitting there and knew that Jesus would protect her if anyone tried to tell her to move out of that space. And that's what Jesus desires to do with you and I. We have a right to be disciples. And he wants us to sit at his feet and to be with him. And it says here that she listened. It means that she considered what it is or what has been said. She takes it in and she is able to understand and perceive what it is that is being spoken. This is active listening, and it is a skill that we all need to learn. A lot of times I tell you guys, you know, take notes, write in the sides of your margins as you are learning, as you are sitting at Jesus' feet in your quiet time, as you're at church, as you're here in the gathering and God begins to speak to you, have that active listening and respond to it and become active in what you are doing. And a lot of times whenever you write things down, you all of a sudden are not distracted by anything. You're not looking at what a person is wearing and if you like their hairstyle. You're all of a sudden being an active listener and saying, how am I going to respond to what is being spoken to me? And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when you read the Word of God, there is a responsibility for us to respond to his word. We need to have active listening whenever we open up the word of God. And that's what we see here with Mary as she considers what is being understand, what she's hearing, and then she is responding to that. And it says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And so we see this comparison immediately between the two. We see Mary who's sitting and listening, and we see Martha who's very active. She's probably a very proactive person that is always on the move. And then we see Mary seems to have a calmness about her. She's not even distracted by the busyness of Martha. She's so not distracted that Martha has to bring it up. But we see Martha very frustrated with what's going on. And so I want us to take some time at our table talk. If you'll look at table talk number one in your basket, I think that every one of us have a little bit of Mary and Martha in us. But I want you just to talk at your tables of which one do you feel like you're more of, the Mary or the Martha, and why. And we'll have about 2 or 3 minutes to talk about this. Okay, so how many Marthas do we have in the room? And how many Marys? There's always way more Marthas than Marys, right? But like I said earlier, I really think that we have a little bit of both of us, both personalities in us. And it's good. I think that we need to learn to balance. But for Martha, so often we have got to really work and we have to be intentional in making ourselves slow down and sit and rest before Jesus, right? And so it's an intentional decision that we're going to have to start making on our own. And it says here in Scripture that Martha is distracted. It means that she's driven about mentally. It means that she's over-occupied with thoughts. And so she has this distraction. I know I get distracted like that with the task that I have for the day, or a lot of times even with my computer and everything that is going, and there's so much that we can receive now through the internet and so much information that we become very distracted, and all of a sudden all of our time is gone. And so we see that here with Martha. In Luke 21:34, it says, be careful. Your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life, and day will close in on you like a trap. Be careful of the busyness that you're in and the anxieties that you are allowing to come into your life. Mark 4:19 says that the worries of life, the desires of other things, that they will choke out the word and you will be unfruitful. So there's warning for us in our busyness if we get too distracted and we've got too much going on that's occupying us mentally, and really it comes to the place where we're focused more on our agenda and not the agendas of others, it will choke out the word and you will not be fruitful. And so she says here, she goes to Jesus, Martha does, and she says, "Do you not care?" Her focus is more in Scripture here on her and what she is doing, what she is working for, and that people are not on her agenda and don't see her perspective. And the way that this sentence is structured in the Greek language, it is structured as if she expects Jesus to agree with her. She expects him to say, "You know, you're right." What is she doing sitting here? She expects him to rebuke Mary because she is so caught up and her perspective is off. She hasn't even taken the time to step back herself and see what is happening here. I love to look at this because you know what? Martha welcomes Jesus in, but then she forgets him. And I think that we do that so much in our day. We welcome him in the morning, and then we get busy and we forget about him the rest of the day until we get back into bed and put our heads down. And Jesus says, "I want to be a part of your life always. I want to be the fullness of your occupation." And so it says, if you'll look in verse 41, it says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.' Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." I love this. In the New Living Translation, it says, "There is one thing worth being concerned about." There's one thing worth being concerned about, Martha. And Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken from her. "I will not rebuke her sitting at my feet." It is the greatest thing that she can do with her day. Whenever you see here of being anxious, the word means to be troubled with cares. Another definition in the Greek is to seek to promote one's interests. To be anxious is to seek to promote one's interest. I thought that was so interesting because her interest was in serving. And so often, that is our interest. But oftentimes, we get so occupied with the serving piece, and we forget the relationship piece. And then we have an expectation for everyone to be on our agenda. And when others slow down to be with the Lord, oftentimes, we don't understand that. Because we now live in a world, and we live in a culture, that busyness is success. And that productivity is good. And so whenever we see people pull back and pull out of committees and pull out of serving, we immediately just kind of say, "I'm done." And I think we need to come to that place where we step back and we say, "Maybe I need to look at my agenda and what it is that I'm doing. And maybe I have forgotten the relationship that's the most important one, which is between me and Jesus Christ." And so we see that her focus is on herself, and whenever that happens, everything in life gets distorted. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." And Jesus says here, there is one thing that is necessary, and Mary has chosen it, and it will not be taken. One thing is necessary. Jesus was saying that there's only one thing needed tonight, Martha. There's only one thing needed. The dinner was good. It didn't have to be a 7-course dinner. You didn't have to feed us in the greatness that you did. It wasn't necessary. What's necessary is for you to know me. You didn't have to go all the way out. And I think that that's where we get messed up in our days, is what's really needed in life. What is a want versus a need? And are we all becoming these type A overachievers? And is it really necessary? Because there's only one thing that's necessary, and that's for you to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? Everything else falls into place. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will come under that. On your table talk, I want you to look at table talk number 2. And I want you to do me a favor. Before you look at it and before you read what it says, I want you to think about your day today. Was it overbooked? Were you overcommitted? Were you stretched to your limits? Think about today. Think about your week. Are you occupied with thoughts that have driven your emotions, that have driven your actions? I want you to jot some of those down. You've got some sticky notes. If you'll just jot down some stress points of your day, and I want you to discuss at your table if it's a necessity. And let me explain to you what I mean by whenever I say, is it a necessity? What I mean by this is, did you put more of an obligation and a responsibility on yourself than what was required of you? And if so, why? And then in the midst of your day-to-day, in the midst of your stress, as you're sitting here right now and already thinking about what you need to be doing on Friday, just think about, is God in that planning? And have you placed Him in that? So, talk about that amongst yourselves for a few minutes. Okay, so I want to hear some of y'all's conclusions, the Marthas of the room. So, what did y'all come to the conclusion of? Did everything that brings stress into your life, have you placed it upon yourself, some of that stuff? Has your busyness overcome you to the place of frustration? What were some of the things that were talked about? Really? Really? I've learned to ask the people at the very back since I was one of you. Yeah, tell me, Ellie. Absolutely. Yeah, apologize. Anybody else? Do you place it upon yourself? Yeah, Lisa. There comes a time, though, that you have to jump off the treadmill, don't you? You have to hit stop, right? Yeah. And I think that that's what we need to start recognizing is that we've got to pull back and we've got to stop. And I think if we will begin to have that posture of a disciple and that we go to Christ with everything, that He's the one that will help us to figure out our priorities, that He's the one that will give us the wisdom on how to do things the best. And so coming to Him first and coming to Him in the midst of it, a lot of times we get so caught up on fixing it ourselves. I'm one of the biggest fix-it people. If you've got a problem, I'm going to figure out how to fix it, and I'll probably give you 3 more options on other things that you can do. And then I'll feel good about it. And God says, you know what? I want you to come to Me in the midst of that fixing and allow Me to help you and to pull some of that off of you. Scripture says to bring all your burdens to Him. And a lot of times we keep the burdens on ourselves. And we think we're supposed to carry it because we have been brought up for some reason to think that we're superwoman. and that we can handle it. And then what ends up happening is that we can't even share burdens with our friends because we don't want to burden them. And so God wants us to come to this place where in the midst of it, that we back up a little bit and say, I might just need to sit at the Lord's feet for a moment and hand it over to Him, and I need to back off. Amen? And so Jesus says here, there's one thing necessary, and that is to know me. That is to know Christ. In Luke 18, we see that the rich man comes, and he comes to Jesus, and he follows all of the commandments. He's a righteous man, and he believes that he is righteous because of his works and the things that he does, and that he knows the Ten Commandments and that he follows them. And he comes to Jesus because he sees Jesus as a good teacher, and he believes that Jesus is righteous because of that. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what can I do to become in right standing with God? Because you know what? I'm doing everything right. But what is it that what advice will you give me to allow me to know that I'm in right standing? And Jesus says, this is what I'll tell you. There's one thing necessary. You go and you sell all of your possessions and you give to the poor, and then you follow me. And this young ruler, he couldn't do it. He couldn't give it up. God knew his heart, and he knows our heart, and he knows exactly the spot that we possess more and love more and idolize more than him. And every time he's going to nail that spot, and he says, I'm going to ask you to give it up and follow me. And that might be your status in your company. It might be the position that you're striving for. It might be that you become the greatest mom and get Mother of the Year every year, and that has become your idol, and that has become your thrust and what you're striving for. And he says, I want you to give up that doing and that working and that cooking the greatest meal 7 days a week. I want you to give it up because you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and I want you to sit at my feet, and I want to become your priority, not those things. And so he comes to this rich young man and he says, you give up those things. And I think what happens with us is whenever we have stuff, whatever it is, the stuff of being a great mom, the stuff of all the promotions that we get over and over again, the materialistic things that we have, it becomes a cushion around us, and we come to the thinking that we don't have a need. And God begins to just strip us of those things and says, I want you to rid yourself of those things, because that's whenever you begin to see your true self. Is whenever you've been rid of those things. But my question for you and my question for me is, will we give it up? Have we come to the place that the one thing necessary that we need in life is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? And so he says, there's one thing that you need, and that's me. We saw that last week with Nicodemus in John 3. He said, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And it's about knowing me. In Philippians 3, we see with Paul in verses 12 through 14, he doesn't fool himself to falsely believe that he's got it all and that he knows everything that he needs to. He continually strived all of his life to know Jesus Christ more. And he speaks here as he says, I want to experience him and I want to know him. He says, I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of me. We've got to come to that place of understanding that whenever we're in that pit and we're in despair, and whenever we think that we've got it all going, and we come to the realization that we don't got nothing going, and we realize that God has taken a hold of us, we've got to come to that place where we put out that hand and we take a hold of him. And Paul is speaking of that here, and he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do. I forget what is behind me, and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. That prize is Jesus Christ. And I strive and I strain and I move ahead to get to that prize. experiencing Him in your days. He says, I find victory in that every day that I live. And I'm not going to look at my past failures, and I'm not going to look at those mistakes, and I'm not going to look at the sin that hinders me. I'm going to hand that over to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to ask Him to wipe me of that, and I'm going to move forward. There's one thing spoken of four times in Scripture. In the Psalm 27, it says, there's one thing, and that is for me to be in His temple with Him. There's one thing, and that is important to our Christian life. That is important to us to have that abundant, victorious living. I think that there are too many Christians who are too involved in many things when the secret to satisfaction is to concentrate on the one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells Martha, there's one thing necessary, and Martha has chosen it. Mary has chosen it. It says Mary has chosen the good portion. That means that she has, it means to pick or to choose for oneself. It is that determined, intentional decision that she has made. When I go back home to Arkansas to see my mom, she has a first cousin that lives like right down the road from her. And whenever she finds out that I'm coming, she makes a gluten-free coconut pie. And it's waiting on me whenever I get there. And whenever I get there, I look at the wholeness of that pie and I pick my portion. And I'm very intentional in that decision. And a lot of times after I cut that pie, because I get the most amount of crust and the most filling, and sometimes I scoop in the portions on the side of it. And that is what Jesus is saying to Martha about Mary. He says she has seen the big picture of tonight. And she has made an intentional decision. She has chosen what she's going to take. And she has chosen the right thing. She's looked at the preparations, and Martha, she probably helped you from noon on until I got here. She helped with the cooking to a certain amount of time, but whenever she saw the full picture of what was going to happen tonight, she intentionally chose to sit at my feet. She wanted to hear every word that I had to say. She wanted to eat what I eat. She wanted to hear every conversation, and it is good. And it will not be taken from her. We have a choice to make in our days. When we see our days, when we see our weeks, whenever we see the things that are coming before, we have a choice in that. Are we going to choose Christ and make Him part of that experience? Or are we just going to bail out and run as fast as we can and do it all on our own? And we see a difference in what is going to happen here with Mary and Martha and the differences that happen between the two. When you spend time with Jesus Christ, it only benefits you. When you get to that place that you desire, and ladies, let me just go ahead and tell you, there was a time in my life that I didn't want to sit at Jesus' feet. I didn't want to be a student of the Word of God. But what I wanted was to look like that godly woman that had peace and was calm and was comforted and was a strong person in her community. I wanted that. But I didn't realize to get that, I had to sit at His feet. Amen? And I came to a place where I began to pray daily, hourly, for Him to give me a heart that desired to love Him and to sit at His feet, that desire to open the Word of God and wrestle with the meat of Scripture. And so if you're sitting here going, Melissa, you know what? I mean, honestly, I don't spend time with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I don't have quiet times with Him. I don't pray with Him on a daily basis. But I want to. It isn't a habit of mine right now, but I desire for it to be because I want to be a woman of peace and a woman that has the calmness in the midst of the storm. You pray for it. I think that we forget the power of prayer and that we can ask for it. If you don't have compassion, pray for God to give you compassion. If you're not a woman of mercy, pray for God to make your heart a heart of mercy. If it's not a habit for you to sit at His feet, pray that it becomes a habit. Set your alarm. Make the alarm go off at lunchtime for you to go and sit. Put it in your calendar that you're going to spend time. Make it part of your schedule until it becomes part of who you are and part of your life, and it becomes natural for you. God desires for you to be a disciple of His. To be a disciple, you sit at His feet and you take in His word. You take in truth. So what do you choose? Do you choose the peace or do you choose the anxiety? Do you want the calmness or do you want the frustration? Do you want to be overwhelmed in your days or do you want to be overjoyed? You have a choice. In our last table talk, I want you to look real quick. And I want you to just question, are there changes that need to be taken place in your life tonight? And are you seeing yourself as one that needs to spend more time at Jesus' feet? In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, encourage one another and build each other up. And so I just want you just to talk about it at your table, just with your honesty, because we're all at different places. And I want the rest of you just to encourage each other with where you are. Build each other up and encourage in the situations that you're in. So just spend a few moments with that. Okay, guys, you know what? I just hope that in those conversations that you will commit to pray for each other and to lift each other up and really just become accountable to each other. And I know that some of our women that have met each other through the gathering are now emailing each other and praying for each other. And so y'all just use this time to encourage, to pray, and to lift up. In Joshua 24, Joshua brings all the Israelites together and he reminds them that God was their warrior. He reminds them that it was His hand on their lives, that He was the conqueror, that He was the one that fought their battles. And as He was speaking to them and He brought them together, He really encouraged them to rid themselves of all other idols, those idols that they were used to in Egypt and that they were kind of bringing back into their lives, because a lot of times that's what happens, is it comes back into our life, doesn't it? And so He brings them together and He encourages them to rid of them. And as their leader in Scripture, He says, you have to choose this day who you will serve. It is your choice. It's an individual choice. It is not your parents' choice or your husband's choice or your boss's choice. It is your choice. It is your faith. And He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you have to come to a decision in your life as to what you will choose. In Deuteronomy 30, with Moses, whenever God used Moses to speak to the people, He brought them together and He spoke to them and He tried to bring to their realization, and He would tell them, if you follow other gods, you will be judged and you will die. But God has set it up for you to follow Him. You are His chosen people, and if you will follow the ways of the Lord, you will live. And in Scripture, He says, therefore, choose life, choose God, choose Jesus Christ, that you may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast. Remember in Paul, in Philippians, we talked about him holding fast to the one who took hold of him. Holding fast to Him all your days. I love this because He tells us to choose life, and then He tells us how to do that. Choose life. Choose today who you will serve. And then He tells us how. By loving God, by obeying Him, by responding to Him whenever you study His Word of God, by obeying what it is that He's called you to do, and then holding fast onto Him. He is your only survival in life. And as we close tonight, I just want you to ask you to take just a moment by yourself with those stickies. I'm going to ask you to write on the sticky side. And I want you to take a moment and think about what portion you have taken lately. And is it the good portion? I want you to look and see if you've been too busy to even be able to see Jesus in your life. Have you been able to sit at his feet and to hear his voice? Scripture says that the time you give the Lord is necessary. God says it is necessary. It's your lifeline. And he says it won't be taken from you. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so what I'm going to ask you to do as Sandy comes up and plays for us is I want you to take the sticky side of that sticky note, and I want you to write down between you and God, what is it that hinders you from knowing Christ more? What is it that is keeping you from sitting at Jesus' feet? And once you've had time to think about that and that you've written that down on your sticky, I want you to pray that the Lord will begin to change your heart to one that desires to sit at his feet before you get caught up in your day, before you get caught up in your busyness. And then just as an act of faith, I'm going to ask you to take that sticky note and I'm going to ask you to come up to this cross that we have up here and place it on the cross. Place your hindrances, your burdens, your idols, the things that you possess, that you love, that has taken priority over your life, over the good portion of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to place it on the cross.